Welcome to the Cybersecurity Podcast. It's the Cybersecurity Podcast with a little extra BS. I'm Andrew Nuxel.
And I'm Nathaniel Dick. And today we're going to talk about the topic that a lot of people are interested in around how to get into the cybersecurity industry. It can be easy to see a lot of jobs out there, but how do you break that ice? And we have a special guest with us.
Yeah, so today we're joined by Chris Fry. He's trying to get his foot in the cybersecurity door, has some relevant experience, and Chris, will let you introduce yourself and then we'll get right into it.
Yeah, thanks. Hi, guys. Thank you for having me. It's really cool to chat with you all for a little while. My name is Chris Fry, and I'm a former Marine. I did a few tours with amphibious assault vehicles, and I did Marine Security Guard, which is kind of guarding embassies. And then after that, I went to school, got a degree in landscape architecture, and then a job in the landscape architecture profession. And now I'm, in short, just working to get into the tech industry and cybersecurity specifically. And that's kind of where I'm at the moment.
And Chris, you've got a lot of great experience on your resume. Can you talk about what your experience so far has been just trying to get interviews and that?
Yeah, definitely. I think the most interesting thing to me that I found is that applying on job boards has been almost 100% fruitless, at least in my personal case. It's kind of like a black hole of resumes, which I found really interesting. I have had the most success when I talk with people personally, either at job fairs or online, or stalk somebody on LinkedIn for a little bit. I've unfortunately had the misfortune of a lot of the interviews that I've had, those positions ended up going away or not getting funded, things like that. And I think that it's been interesting to talk to a bunch of people and hear what they think I should do to get a job, to enter into the industry. And everyone definitely has a different opinion on how I should go about it. But it's definitely been a low contact process so far.
Yeah. I think that, we touched base beforehand and Nathaniel mentioned both he and I have had a bit of experience being the hiring manager or bringing people in. So hopefully we can talk through the situation you're in and the experience you've had and help make it a little bit better. It's interesting that you mentioned the job board resume. It's just resumes come in by the dozens, if not hundreds, for jobs that are out there. And with cybersecurity being such a hot field and so many people dying to get into it, resumes come in extremely quick. So I think you touched on one approach that I would recommend and I would keep up with is definitely reaching out directly if you can find somebody on LinkedIn that might be affiliated with an organization, especially if you have a prior connection with them or a secondary connection that you can come through and say, hey, Nathaniel, I saw that Chris, and he's applying for a job at your company. Try to work your connections, man. And one thing that Nathaniel and I talked about previously was networking is so much more important than a lot of times the skills that you have. Even people really value personal connection, and that's something that's kind of started to evaporate post pandemic with so many remote jobs and hybrid jobs. So I think that you're taking a good approach with that, but we'll continue to dive into it. Nathaniel, any thoughts before I just keep on droning?
Yeah, no, I totally get it. And I think one of the challenges we're seeing too, you mentioned a lot of those job postings being filled. I've talked to recruiters and have experienced this myself where there's this common practice where they'll post a job and actually don't have any intention of hiring you. And they're just trying to gather resumes for the sake of having it in their records and databases. So that can be a real challenge right now too. We're seeing that a lot with security jobs, especially where unfortunately, a lot of the bigger companies, but some of the smaller ones too, are just posting out there. So it can be hard to just sort through all that too. What is actually a job that's legitimate or going to be actually filled? And then, like you said, it can get cut the next week after you interview and go spend all that time personalizing your resume maybe a little bit to that. So yeah, it's definitely a struggle out there.
On that note, have you worked with any recruiters yet, Chris? Do you have any recruiters that have helped you identify opportunities?
Yeah, so I've actually talked to a bunch of recruiters. I've gotten a couple of them to kind of take my resume, talk to me a little bit. You know, I explain my story to them, so they have the ability to bring me up if an opportunity comes in. I think my biggest disadvantage there is that when someone goes to a recruiter for somebody, they typically don't say, like, find me someone who hasn't had a job in this industry before. They want someone with experience and things like that. I think that, you know, with my background and some of the skills that I've learned over my career, that I provide a lot more than someone who just hasn't had a job in the industry before, which is why I think I've probably found a little bit more success talking to people, especially with recruiters. You mentioned about the networking aspect, and I had one conversation with a recruiter, and she told me that, and I'm not verifying these percentages, but about 70% of new jobs are, you know, achieved through networking. And so if you apply to a job posting, then you only have a 30% chance of getting that job if you qualify and if you're the only one applying. And then when you break that chance down, I've gotten emails personally that said we've had over 2,500 applicants to this position. When I look at those kind of chances, I'm like, well, is this is this really going to help me in any way, shape, or form? So
it can be hard because there's so many jobs out there. What ones do you focus on, right?
Exactly. And I've heard from some respected people in the industry that, you know, maybe looking towards like IT help desk or something like that is kind of a way that a lot of people get their foot in the door. And so I'm also including those in my searches, trying to get some traction there. Because I think, you know, knowing the fundamentals of networking and things like that does give you a leg up when you're looking for a job, but people can't really see that you know that unless that you have that experience of a year or two in an IT help desk or something similar.
Yeah, I would say if you have the opportunity to apply for another job that might get you in the door to a company that you're interested in, I definitely pursue that. The other thing you mentioned that I would just say, having looked at your resume and basing, you know, what you're saying on experiences that I've had with others looking for a job, don't sell yourself short on the experience that you do have. So we had Gary DiMercurio on a couple of weeks ago talking about the, you know, pen test gone wrong. And one of the things that he mentioned was, you know, physical security and the importance of that is truly a critical part of effective cybersecurity. So, you know, that's something that I'm not saying you make it the first line on your resume, but it's definitely something you might want to highlight or call out in the experience that you had. The other thing I would say is, you know, you've had some experience with programming languages and so on. So my assumption is, based upon the conversations we've had and what I do know about you, you didn't do that in a bubble that wasn't aware of the cybersecurity requirements and the importance of that. So don't just say, hey, I coded, you know, all these applications in Python, or I scripted this, you know, I securely scripted this. I, you know, took a DevSecOps approach to, you know, I'm not by any means encouraging anyone to exaggerate their experience or anything along those lines. But more often than not, I think people sell themselves short, especially when they're trying to break in. So many things that you do have a cybersecurity spin on it. And just the fact that you're aware of what it takes to accomplish those things does give you a leg up on the average person. So don't be afraid to highlight those and talk about what you've done that translates well into a security focus.
Yeah, and I think another thing that I found helpful and from the industry is you do need to somewhat personalize the resume for the specific area that you're targeting. Because if you make it too broad, it can often make the algorithms that they do these resume searches on, or also just the person that's reviewing the resume is a little bit confused. And so one thing that I would recommend is for applicants and yourself too, is take a look at your resume and maybe even have two versions, because it sounds like you have this software security side that you could maybe emphasize. And then you also have just a security side, and maybe even highlight those areas in the specific resume that you're applying for. So you get a version one, version two, version three, and you want to apply to several different jobs, but if you throw the same resume at it, it's not going to work. You need to have a resume that's very tailored to meet those job keywords. What I would do, take a look, and definitely do not exaggerate your experience. Do not lie about your experience, but it doesn't hurt to take a look at the keywords on the resumes that are posted on LinkedIn, Indeed, and see what those keywords are. If you don't know about it, we'll take a certification about it. If you need to, you know, button up some things. If you see it in every single job posting, that's probably a sign that you're going to have it. But chances are you may have it. You just need to tailor your keywords to match the keywords that are in the job posting. And one of the things that I see right here is you mentioned NIST framework. It's very broad. A lot of companies, when they post, are looking for a very specific NIST framework. So if those specifics can be important, they'll look at their keywords. And that's just one example. And I see NIST framework, and then I see Python. My eyes go up, and I'm like, how are they related, right? Because, yeah, they are, and we can talk about that. But if I'm applying to a cybersecurity job that's more like a cybersecurity analyst, it's good that I know about Python, but I'm probably going to be focusing more on that NIST framework skill set or the SIM framework. Now, there's relations, and there may be some jobs that have that overlap, like a software development security job could be a great way to throw that in there. But just to kind of along those lines, as I'm looking through what you've got in your resume and as talk to others too in this process.
No, that's amazing advice. And I've not heard either of those things specifically said to me, so I really appreciate both of those.
Yeah, don't be afraid to customize your resume for sure. I haven't sent a resume out in a long time. And largely because I built a network, and most of the time I hear about a job before it gets posted, if somebody thinks I'm a good fit. It's not a humble brag or anything. The more you put yourself out there, the more you grow your network, the more people you meet, and they're going to be like, oh, hey, here's a data analyst position. And I don't even know if Chris is looking, but if he isn't, I bet he knows somebody that is. And so, you know, you hear about a lot of stuff like that. My real point is, it's been a really long time, dozens of years, since I've sent two of the same resume out for anything. Nathaniel made an outstanding point. Look at the job description, look at the request, or if somebody comes to you and says, hey, Chris, have a position for junior pen tester. They're really looking for somebody that understands NIST cybersecurity framework, 800.53, you know, they start throwing things out. Well, if you have it, highlight it. If you don't, download the paper and read it and put it on there that you've reviewed it. And because I guarantee if you read the document, you're ahead of 99% of cybersecurity professionals. Nobody reads those things, they're too long. And so kudos to anyone that reads them, and double kudos to somebody that actually processes and understands it when they get to the end of it.
And you've got some great certifications here too, like the ISC squared CC and the CompTIA coming. So that's great. And I think those would be good to highlight too. And yeah, I think those are some really good things. And there's some good resources too. I'm not endorsing any resume builders, but there's some free videos online. You may have watched them, and they'll even give you a template on how to build a resume. Those are really key. And one of the things they focus on is that resume recruiter is just going to read maybe that first line. So really catching their eye with some positive keywords and just making it really key. And just be really specific and niche. I know you're kind of trying to be general, but you kind of have to be, unless it's a general job that you're applying to. So cybersecurity and IT professional could be changed to cybersecurity professional or IT professional. Change your version numbers. If you want to apply to an IT job, say you're an IT professional. You want to apply to a cybersecurity job, say you're a cybersecurity professional, things like that. Because somebody wants to see that you're confident. You've got some great stuff to put out here. I second Andrew, that staff sergeant experience. Yeah, expand on that. It could be some things that you're allowed to say. Yeah, could be some great experience there too. A recruiter is just looking for that match that they can present to you as a really good candidate to a job person. And as soon as you get an interview, your chances go up that you get that job. So
anytime you get an interview, it's good because it's practice for your next interview. And
yeah, totally.
What kind of resources have you been using for just training, keeping up on things? And like Nathaniel mentioned, you have a couple certifications already under your belt. You're heading towards your Security Plus, so that's awesome. Where you been getting your material to consume? You just self-studying, or do you have any good places going?
Yeah, so I have, I am doing self-studying. I've got, you know, some of the books that are recommended when you're studying for Security Plus exam, things like that. I've used LinkedIn Learning to give me kind of a kickstart in a lot of different areas. I don't use it as the sole source, but it's a really good way to get kind of the basics down of the topic that you're going on. And that's included with, I have a LinkedIn Premium, and that's included with that subscription. So that's been super helpful. Some other things that I've found are, I always hate saying this, but I've found a couple of people on YouTube that seem to be well-respected in the industry.
YouTube's an invaluable resource, and I wouldn't go so far as say like X or Twitter, whatever you call it today, is as good as it used to be. But man, I used to get find so much stuff there. And like Kelly Handerhan still has some stuff out on YouTube. Great cybersecurity stuff. Thor Peterson has some stuff out there. They also have their own affiliations and things. But yeah, by all means, you can learn a lot from people on any topic.
And one of the things too that I think is really key, a lot of times, especially if you want to get like a security analyst job or just that you show more awareness, even though it's a basic job, think of what the CIO's problems are. You're not applying for a CIO job, but think about their problems. If they're in the banking industry, think about the FTC guidelines. You should know all of them and what the current news about them are, the current hacks that have happened, Bank of America, whatever. Know it all. If you're in the you're applying to a medical company, you should know the FDA guidelines. If you're applying to a government contractor, you should know by heart the CMMC rule, the NIST framework, and the specific pieces. Even if it's not in the job listing, the CIO or whoever's interviewing you is probably going to ask you, because that's something that they're concerned about and thinking about. If they'll even ask their vendors about it. The vendor doesn't know it, it's going to immediately be down in the list, because it shows that you at least know the industry really well, that you're aware, you're keeping above the topic too. And I found that really helpful. And just it being a professional and showing your expertise, you probably know it, but then just keeping up to date on it and really showing that you're really devoted. You're going to give them every effort you have to stay up to date on industry news. It's going to put you above the crowd, I think, too. I know when I interview people, too, it really helps if they show that they're going to work hard. And I know that maybe be a, you know, a quaint statement in today's world, but a lot of people through this COVID and remote work, they want to see a hard worker, and I think that pays off, too. People are looking for that in a good employee too.
Yeah, that's a great point. The industry knowledge is definitely something that's has crossed my mind a few times, and I have struggled slightly with it because I'm at the moment pretty industry agnostic. Sure. It's not as important to me whether I get into banking or biotech or something like that, which is kind of a problem that the tech field has, is you can be in pretty much any industry you want. But no, that's a great point to kind of study up on some of the more prominent rules and guidelines, and note those on my resume. I would imagine would be super helpful.
The other thing kind of along those lines is, don't, especially if you're just trying to break in. You touched on the possibilities of maybe a help desk position or something just to get your foot in the door. But don't just hone in on one like sector. I mean, don't think you have to do security analyst or you name it. But my point is, the cybersecurity landscape, especially the further along you get, has really, especially lately, rapidly shifted towards a more risk-focused endeavor. So cybersecurity is a part of that, but any part of risk and careers that are associated with that, whether, all the way from auditing to, you name it, there's many different areas that are tangential to risk management and have a strong cybersecurity connection. So be open to those. Maybe, look out there a little bit. I wouldn't encourage anybody that doesn't like auditing to become an auditor, but there's a lot of great jobs entry level in auditing. I'm not saying that you don't have to brush up or get a certification at some point, but there's a lot of auditing jobs, risk management. There's many different flavors of careers that are so close to cybersecurity or, you could step into and have a much easier road to a long-term cybersecurity job.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I think certainly my focus, I have kind of honed in, like you said, on cybersecurity analyst or help desk or things like that. And I haven't really explored something along the lines of auditing, which might even make sense for me, because when I was Marine security guard in embassies overseas, I basically had to make sure everyone was following the rules and doing the things they're supposed to be doing and making sure everything's right. So that is something that I enjoyed, and it could be a good way to roll that experience into something new.
For sure. Yeah. And then you start looking deeper into that. You have governance, yeah. You have compliance, you have all of these things that have a strong connection to your military experience, like you're talking about. So
it might be worthwhile. A little bit, Chris. Okay. You mentioned this overseas, which thanks for your service. So you mentioned this kind of auditing perspective. Would you like fill out some paperwork or something? What can you tell us about that experience?
Sure. There's definitely paperwork to fill out. We had to do checks, physical checks, when people weren't around, after hours and things like that, to make sure that things were stored properly, that material was handled properly, and things were accounted for. You have to sign something when someone gives it to you, and then when you pass it off, you have to sign it again to say that you gave it to them. So there's definitely a lot of, control continuity and things like that. There weren't necessarily reports very often, though there were a couple times when we had to go and do a big check throughout the entire embassy and make sure that everything was as it was supposed to be.
Now, were you, and again, say whatever you're comfortable with saying, but were you involved in securing any type of technology in that time, or was it mostly paper documents?
We did secure technology, though not in a software capacity. It was mostly a physical capacity. So we did, we were guarding areas of classified material. So anything that was in that, I guess, risk area was something that we were controlling.
This is where I would bring it out on your resume. You are aligning with the NIST 800-53 framework because you're working with classified material. So you could actually write in there familiarity with NIST 853, had experience protecting a information system or a technology at that level, and was involved in the auditing process of that NIST 853. And then you could really draw out that NIST 853 experience. And I think you could make it an asset as you apply to some of these jobs and actually show quite a bit of experience in that area, even though it's not directly, like you're not, maybe running a report on the system, but a lot of it is still related and you're following an audit framework and the NIST 853 framework is one of the best standards out there. So I don't know, that could be a way to like Andrew was mentioning, add a little bit more of your what you're really good at and be confident in that.
Oh, I like that. Thank you very much. I'll definitely go back and read more pointedly the 853 and see how I can draw that out. Yeah, it was a difficult thing. Yeah, to check on everybody.
And it's quite a standard. There's a lot of controls in there, over 300 just controls, and then all the CCIs in there is about 1,000 different ones. So, yeah, that takes a lot of knowledge and know-how just to maintain. Maybe you were involved with a physical control set, and there's a lot of them in there. So, yeah, those are really great to go over. But yeah, being able to talk about it and mention it as a cybersecurity-related topic or even IT audit, there's a lot of physical control as part of a cybersecurity. I mean, Gary corrected me last week. I was like, what is cybersecurity physical? Well, to him, it's security and protecting it. And I think he's really made a good point about making physical security really just as important as we think about all this cyberspace, but it's really all tied together. And our weakest control is our weakest link. And a lot of times that's the physical part of it.
All right. Chris, what's your end goal in terms of career? Where do you want to land when all said and done? I mean, it's hard to say. We've said on this podcast, I still don't know exactly what I want to be when I grow up, but but I found something I'm reasonably good at. Any particular area where you want to land or you think, oh, that space is really cool and that's what I'd like to do?
Yeah, I think, and again, being so fresh into the industry, I don't have enough experience to like or dislike one thing more than the other. But I do think being associated with like proactive defense and incident response and things like that is a really interesting field to me. I've looked into, you know, the pen testing side a little bit, and I'm still, you know, learning how to do that just to round out some skills. But I, you know, I have an affinity for of being able to keep people out of things they're not supposed to be in from the Marine Corps, because everybody's guarding something all the time, right? And so it's something that I kind of comes naturally to me, and I think that I'd be able to use that to my advantage, and I find that portion of the industry specifically very interesting.
It sounds like you're really good at it, so I think that's really cool, and that sounds like your passion is for that, and I think somebody's going to have a great opportunity in hiring you, it sounds like, so really excited for that.
Yeah, have you had any luck looking into government positions, or is that something that you've explored at all? I mean, and understandably, deservedly so, a lot of times veterans get preference, especially if it's a government job. So hopefully, you know, the service you provided, I echo Nathaniel, thanks for that. Hopefully that pays off for you in your job search. But have you looked into the government sector or anything along those lines? How's that?
I have. And being a veteran certainly does help you, absolutely right. And it's an advantage that I try to use whenever I can. It's the thing that I've personally found with government is that because I was not in a kind of IT or cyber related field in the military, the government has these minimum qualifications that you have to meet. They're not as flexible as a private company might be. And since I'm kind of coming from a different direction, it's a lot more difficult to meet those requirements. So I have been trying a little bit. They've all been rejections so far, but that won't stop me. And the jobs are just fewer and further between for something that I think I would be a good fit for.
Yeah, that's a good call out, Andrew. I know that talking to colleagues in DCSA, they're having a very hard time right now keeping IS industrial security representatives and just anybody associated with DCSA audits, ISSPs, et cetera. And I do know there is some requirements, but yeah, I definitely reach out to anybody. Now, they're a little bit harder, so you'd probably have to use some of your contacts. A lot of times they're not on LinkedIn, so it's like kind of digging around, and you probably know that better than I would. But yeah, it could definitely be in there. Another thing is like some great communities to join. Possibly if you are involved in any CSA in your community, Cloud Security Alliance. NCMS is a great community for cleared folks. They've got a lot of, I think it's $150 a year. They have job postings on there. They have a community that's constantly engaged. There's over 1,000 people, I don't even, maybe even more than that, that are just all with usually just a security clearance, FSOs, ISSMs, ISOs. And so that I would highly recommend. It's a little bit of money, but it's probably well worth it. But yeah, so there's some great groups out there too that just showing your name out there and maybe even responding to some of the posts that get generated is really valuable. And you know, make mistakes. It sounds like you're doing a good job not making mistakes, but learning from your mistakes and really just keep learning too. That's what it takes. And I think that's the really thing that a lot of people say, okay, getting into cybersecurity is hard. Well, it's just like everything else. It's just, I think so many people want to get into this space right now. It's they don't want to do the hard work of just keep trying. And that's really what it takes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a lot of effort for sure. As far as the groups go, I will definitely check out the ones that you mentioned. I did find there's an OWASP group in San Diego that's local that is having a meetup at the end of the month that I'm hoping to get to. So I'm pretty excited about that just to meet some other people in the industry for sure. But the trying is definitely a key part of where I've at least gotten so far. I don't think that I would have had nearly as many like opportunities for interviews if I had been kind of shut down after getting my 100th denial of application. So it's, I think,
kudos to you for keep trying. That's good.
Luckily, I think the Marine in me was like, no, I can still do this just because they say no. But I've had to remind myself many times that the rejection notices aren't personal. No one looked at my resume and was like, oh no, screw this guy. Yeah. Let's send him a rejection. It was just like, They probably didn't even make it to my resume because there's so many of them. So it just is what it is. It's a business thing, not personal.
For sure. Yeah. Right. Any questions that you have, Chris? Anything that crossed your mind during the conversation that we might be able to provide a little bit of insight on or try to find answers for you and get back to you?
Is there a way that I can better tell my story other than just listing the bullet points on my resume? Because, you know, like Nathaniel was talking to me about the Marine security stuff, like he was able to pull a lot of more information out that way. I guess I feel like that's one of my big things is because I've already been working for a long time, I know how to send emails to people. I know how to communicate with my colleagues and things like that. Like all those basic things that you have to learn in the beginning, like I've got those down. So I'm wondering, is there a way or a more effective way than what I'm doing to kind of sell that story a little bit? Because I know you mentioned, Andrew, that the first couple lines are all they get to look at, right? And you had that summary up there, say, this is what I'm looking for. And I actually had a recruiter who showed me his LinkedIn. He shared his screen and showed me his LinkedIn view on what recruiters see. And it really is just like the top third of the resume. And I was like, wow, you really don't see anything unless you scroll down. And a lot of them don't scroll.
Yeah, I haven't done recruiting through LinkedIn, but that's typically the case. And I mean, lots changed in the past couple of years, but a few years ago, a recruiter told me that the average hiring manager spends between 7 and 10 seconds looking at a resume. And those have previously or should have previously been screened by someone in human resources or some algorithm like Nathaniel was talking about earlier that weeds out resumes. So, yeah, I would definitely try to move what you think is most important to the front. Beyond that, and highlighting things like we've talked about already, I would just reiterate how important a personal connection, finding someone that can advocate for you. Don't be afraid to ask a colleague or someone in your network for an introduction or to help. Let somebody else talk about how great you are because you have the skills, and a lot of times just that personal introduction or the opportunity to have a 5-second conversation will go way further than the 7 to 10 seconds that was spent glancing at your resume. So that's what I would say. And I'm happy to help where I can. If there's ever someone that you see that's in my network, mine's fairly large, but don't hesitate to reach out, even if you don't think that somebody knows it. If there's a chance, don't be afraid to reach out to someone and say, hey, do you happen to know so-and-so at this company? I know you did work in the financial sector. Maybe they do. Maybe they know somebody else that works there. Or the other thing is that recruiters will do that on your behalf a lot of times. Recruiters know everybody. They're involved in so many places. They're always out there trying to sell their company and their qualifications and placement. That's how they make their money. So don't be afraid to talk to a recruiter and have them advocate on your behalf from time to time as well.
And here's what I would say. I think looking at your resume, and I'm looking at your LinkedIn right now, you are advertising yourself as an application developer. That's great if you want to go that route. But if you want to go that route with either an IT or cybersecurity, change your LinkedIn to match that. And then your resume should closely align with that. Again, there's some great resources, better than I could ever recommend, on how to format the resume, but short and simple. That first paragraph is all they're going to see. So include your keywords. Your CompTIA should be right in there. Once you get it, your CC, right in that first paragraph somewhere, and then your specific skills that you want to call out for that specific job that you're applying for. All those little keyword skills, put that in the bottom, and then one page that you want to have, not two pages, just put one page out there. Really focus on that, maybe that top job that you really want to highlight. There's some debate on how you should arrange your work experience, but as much as you can to highlight that relevant experience for LinkedIn, yeah, I would just really customize that to really stand out those pieces that you want a cybersecurity focus to kind of show. So that's,
I would echo that, Nathaniel. I mean, I think it's a good idea to go out on LinkedIn and don't be afraid to call yourself an aspiring cybersecurity professional.
Exactly.
Or, rewrite your tagline, your headline, aspiring cybersecurity professional interested in anything that might fit the bill, and put that out there.
You got to be careful. You don't want to be an imposter. You don't want to be accused of that too. And I think there's a lot of people that do that. But, I've seen one person wrote his resume, and he basically hired somebody and said things that he wasn't. And that's really dishonest and just plain bad, right? But if you show it, aspiring cybersecurity professional, that's good. And you're more than that too. So having those like key pieces, and then in your about section, really highlighting it, I think that's gonna really help. I found LinkedIn is very valuable for recruiters to find you, because that's, like you said, Chris, that's really what they use. So if you apply, they're going to look at your LinkedIn if they want it. They're essentially a recruiter, and hopefully we're hoping to have one on soon too, just to discuss this topic. But a recruiter is going to look at your LinkedIn profile before sending you over for an interview. And so if they see something that doesn't seem to line up, that may impact their decision to move you forward. But if you have a really great LinkedIn profile, it's going to help for sure.
That's great advice. Thank you.
You got great cover photo. Well, cover photo says software developer. So again, if you're applying to a software developer, that's fine. But I would just really niche in your application there. But
if anything, make it more general. I mean, would just say IT professional.
Sure.
Don't pigeonhole yourself. Make it broad.
Awesome. No, I'll definitely look into it. Look at that again with a new, fresh eyes.
Thank you. Any other questions for us?
Since I have you both, and you're both in the industry and successful from what I can tell, I was just curious what your thoughts were on certifications or certificates as someone newer in the industry. I know a lot of, as you move up the chain, people require more advanced certifications, but do you look upon that favorably to those younger in the profession?
Well, I would say, I think certifications are great. Don't rest on them. I mean, so the good thing about many of the cybersecurity certifications is in order to maintain them, you also have to do continuing education. You have to do something to validate that, hey, it's not just a check mark in a box. It's not just a piece of paper and so on. So it's good from that standpoint. So I would encourage you to go after certifications that are relevant to your interests. But at the same time, focus on ones that are really going to challenge you and go beyond just book learning. So I don't want to knock any certifications because I'm afraid of the downstream effects of saying, hey, this certification is bad, and someone, feeling negative consequences from that. There are some I like better than others. I'll just say that. There are some that I have that I like better than others. I'll say that too. But especially the ISC squared certifications. You get one of those, you're not getting that thing by accident. You really have to know that material. You're not going to be able to read through. This is coming from someone who's good at memorization. You're not going to be able to just read the textbook a couple times and go in there and sit the exam and pass it. You better know it. You have to have practical knowledge of how to do it. That said, as you study for these certifications, you're going to learn a lot, and it's probably going to help you with other certifications. Long story short, I can talk about this for a long time. I'm going to have more episodes about it, but I would say by all means, certifications are great, especially if you find one that lines up with your interests and your long-term goals.
Awesome. No, those are great answers. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone, and stay cyber safe out there.